All right, everyone, it's the Grimlord here, and this is Grimm's Comics Corner. We are back with Spawn. Here's Volume 7. It's a long one, so let's get started. Oh, by the way, thanks, guys, for all your compliments, and my channel's kind of growing a little bit, too. Not really sure what to think about that. There's just a place for my comics and basically some of the shows and stuff that I do on Alt Tech. So, I appreciate it. It's awesome. Some guy told me I need to, Beef Gravy Studios told me I need to read for Audible. I've kind of considered maybe doing something like that, but I'm not really great at, like, reading, like, a whole thing without messing up. And that's one thing that I've always had a problem with, especially as I guess I've gotten a little older, my reading skills aren't kind of what they used to be. But, I appreciate the compliment. So, let's go ahead and just get started. Of course, Capullo doing the art there for that. Spawn Origins Collection, Volume 7. Collecting issues 39 to 44, and things are getting kind of silly and weird at this point. Of course, Spawn created by Todd McFarlane. Greg Capullo, Tony Daniel, Kevin Conrad. Alright. If we begin to take small pieces of a story, then we can give a fairly biased and unclear view of what the story is actually trying to tell. Taken out of context, there are many acts of violence in the Bible, but as you read further into each story, a reason of rationale is given for each act of what looks like senseless violence. Given that the reason adults try to protect their children from such content is because they believe boys and girls are so heavily influenced by what they see and read. It is my belief that we are equally influenced by the good as well as the bad, and that we should not ignore one factor over another. For to do so is to be unfair to the subject, and it seems to me that this would be a greater sin we are teaching our children, how we seem to make things fit into our own personal boxes without looking into the whole story. Todd McFarlane, Spawn Letters Page, Issue 39. December, 1995. I think that's the year I got my first Nintendo Challenge set. Noel. Oh, wow. Yep, it's a Christmas one. Christmas is coming a little early, folks. Christmas Eve, Harlem, New York. As a snowstorm engulfs the city and conceals its grimy streets, the faint sounds of Christmas music, sirens, and the odd gunshot mingle in the night air. Rows of buildings house families, some extended, some broken. The lucky ones prepare for the evening's festivities. Snowballs, my favorite. Not too many of those, Greggy. You'll get a tummy ache. Just a couple, okay? I won't get sick, promise. All right, but only because it's a special night. Thanks, Mom. You're the greatest. I'm going to go count the presents under the tree. Again? Well, don't get crumbs all over the place. Come on, Mom. It's not fair. I told you last week everyone's going. Like, if I don't go, I'll look like such a loser. I'm sorry, Nadine. I have to work, and you know we can't afford a babysitter. I need you to stay with Greggy. This is so totally unfair. Nadine, please. I don't need this right now. Bibsy boy, come give Mama a kiss goodnight. My silly boy, you look like Santa with that powdered sugar beard. Make sure you're in bed early tonight. You don't want Santa skipping our house because someone's not sleeping. I hate this, leaving them alone tonight, especially Greggy. I wish waitressing could make ends meet, but I need this job too. The kids deserve a better life than I've had. My mother was actually a waitress, so I understand where she's coming from. She waitressed tables for a long, long time before she got into retail. And now retired, of course. Oh God, I'm gonna be late. Well, Phyllis, I'm glad you decided to show up. I'm not so sure you need this job as much as you say, do you? I do, Miss White. I'm sorry. It won't happen again. The weather, it's just awful. Quiet. Don't give me excuses. If you're too lazy to work, I'll find someone else. Hundreds of people like you would beg me for this job. You should show me more respect. Are you sure Brad's gonna be there? Oh my god, he's like so cool. Like that guy I just love in the Lee Jeans ad. Really? He asked if I was going? Sure, I'll be there. Who wouldn't? Hey, Greggy, Mom said you could watch this Rudolph video as many times as you want tonight. You know, because it's a special night. Remember, it'll rewind by itself. You just press play, okay, Bibsy? I hate when Mom calls him that. He's almost 5. Just because he's a pig at the table doesn't mean he still needs a bib. Wow, isn't Mom the greatest? She ain't ever gonna let him grow up. I'll be back in a few minutes. Uh-huh. What am I gonna do? The fog is too thick for me to deliver. Is this Santa Claus? What am I going to do? This fog is too thick for me to deliver these presents. All the boys and girls will be so sad. I guess there'll be no Christmas this year. Yes, there will, Santa. Ask Rudolph. Rudolph, your nose is so bright it's blinding. Oh, Rudolph, your nose. I have a great idea. Ask him. Your bright nose will light our way. Christmas will be saved. Told ya. There's time if we hurry. All over the world, boys and girls will have a Merry Christmas. Rudolph's the coolest. Yes, Santa, I can light the way through the fog. Mom told me my nose was special. It is. With his mother working almost every night, he thinks nothing of being left alone with Nadine. As for the many nights she takes off, he thinks nothing of being left alone, period. Ready to go, Rudolph? You will lead the sleigh tonight. Yeah, Rudolph! Time passes. Little Greggy finds himself lost in a dream world. It's Christmas Day and hundreds of presents lie beneath the tree. He picks up a big, shiny red box and hands it to Mom. It's from Santa. A huge smile lights up her face. Mommy works so hard and Santa knows it. Nadine's there. So is Daddy. Everyone laughs. Mommy searches under the tree looking for a special gift. Now it's Greggy's turn. A funny-looking present with a huge bow on it. A new guitar! Just what he always wanted. The best Christmas ever. Crunch! Nadine! Is that you? Footsteps. Lots of them. Oh! Maybe... Yes! It's them, the little helpers! That means... Santa's here!
Oh, man.
His milk and cookies, I forgot to put them out. Ching, clink, ching! Gotta hurry, I can hear his jingle bells coming. And all that noise must be reindeer bumping each other. I hope Rudolph's up there too, because it's kind of foggy. Santa'll need his big red nose. Must be hard work pulling a giant sled, so I bet they're pretty hungry. Swat! Uh-oh, time for bed. I don't want Santa to skip us. Clang, clink! Huh? Cool, Santa's helper. Better pretend I'm asleep. Because Santa knows which boys are naughty. Bam, bam, bam! And nice. Hope he knows Mommy's been nice too, even the Dean. But she's naughty sometimes. Like that abominable snowman. He's always... Oh no! I left the milk in the kitchen! Creak! The cookies will make them thirsty. Creech! Crunk, crunk, crink! Now I better get back to bed before... Wow! It was Santa! The tree, gotta check it. See how big Mom's present is. Having counted the gifts a dozen times a day for the past week, Greggy can see at once that nothing has been disturbed. He forgot us. Maybe I can still catch him. Santa Claus, Rudolph, come back, please. Don't go. Don't go. You forgot my mommy's present. You didn't. I knew it. Oh, thank you, Santa. Thank you. I bet Santa had to leave this outside because he was too fat for the window. Probably didn't want to get stuck like Winnie the Pooh did. Now I'll put it right where she can see it. I just can't wait to see Mommy's face, and Nadine's gonna have a cow when I tell her I saw Santa and Rudolph. This is so cool! The next morning, when Phyllis opens her unexpected final present, she sees her son beaming with pride. Then as she and Nadine stare in shock at its contents, Greggy tells him of the late night visit. He radiates innocence and sincerity. For the rest of the day, Phyllis wrestles with her conscience. Finally, she comes to terms with her dilemma. Though she knows she shouldn't, she keeps the money, dedicating it to a greater purpose. To Phyllis, the greatest neighbor and friend a person could hope for. Excuse me, guys. Within 2 days, all the money is spent on the other poor families in her building. A wonderful dinner, toys for every child. It's a party none will soon forget. Bibsy? Yes, Mama. Yes, Mama. I'm so proud of you. Do you know that? I want you to do me a favor, please. Remember this. Remember today. All the joy in this room is because of you. And Santa, him too. You see, what you've done is give me a chance to remind us all of what's important in this life. Our families. Our friends. Please never forget those you care for. Always find time to be with them. And never, ever desert them in a time of need. That's how you show you care, how people know you'll love them. I'll remember. Mommy? Yes, Greggy? Isn't this the best Christmas ever? Yes, it is, son. Yes, it is. Okay, issue 40, 1996. Fugitives, part 1. 96 was a good year. That was Conrad. Okay. New York City. In the cracks and crevices of the Lower West Side's alleys, there is a place, a dark place, hidden from sympathy. A part of the Bowery, more hopeless than ever this sad, than even this sad district's reputation. A place beneath the dignity of most of the homeless. It's called Rat City. Only a handful of city officials even acknowledge it. Some police investigators, a couple of firefighters, not many more. And especially not the general public. More recently, it's become host to a new visitor, a new hero, a king. My head's pounding. That wine they drink. I can't believe how cheap it is. How do Bobby and Bootsy do it every night? They must... Ugh! Can I help you guys? I just wet myself. Yeah! It's him! Take it easy, Spawn. We were just adding to your throne, trying to make it more, impressive. And comfy. Whatever. I don't want you to touch it again. Not ever. Understand? Sure, sorry. It didn't mean any harm. One of the bums giggles. Why is he laughing? Who, Elmo? Don't pay attention to him. Drugs fried his brains years ago. I can tell. So why don't you boys take your act down the road? I like being alone. Man, there's always someone in my face needing a piece of me. Everyone except Wanda. She can't stand the sight of me. But what do I expect? She thinks I'm some kind of psychotic terror. Every time I get nearer, things spin out of control. And now, Cagliostro drops a bombshell that Jason Wynn might not be the reason I'm dead. Which makes Terry's role in this even more confusing. Why is he heading up Wynn's personal security? He was a desk jockey when I died. Now he's trying to kill me. Sleeping with my wife isn't enough for him, I guess. Lost in thought, Spawn is barely aware of his constant tensing. It's just the alcohol, he tells himself. Let's get out of here! Excuse me. Let's try that one again. Let's get the hell out of here! It's been activated! He should have known better. The costume doesn't lie. What is this? A booby trap. The biomechanical tentacles are studded with electroneurons. They discharge with the explosive force of a small bomb. Those studs are packing more than 50,000 volts each. The result is as expected. The complete shutdown of an entity made entirely from necroplasm. Hiding the trap in a throne of debris was easy. Neatness didn't count. It was always collapsing under his weight, anyway. The hard part was finding three techs willing to act like bums while planting the device in the demon's den. Others now arrived to carry out their part of the maniacal mission. Now, number four, strike quickly. The master is unsure how long the creature will be affected. Vroom, crack, crunk. I know the play on number seven, but positioning is if I don't hit it right, there won't be enough of him for a second try. Alert the others, I'll be coming in from behind. Tell them to get the camouflage ready. We need to finish this in a couple of minutes. Everyone to your predetermined stations. Contact to commence in 3, 2, 1. Wahoo! Tied directly to the ebbs and flow of the necroplasm, Spawn's uniform puts up no resistance. It too has been rendered useless, leaving Spawn far too vulnerable. The body jerks from impact as an involuntary gasp escapes his chapped lips. Excellent! Now the crate! Make sure you cover as much as possible! Number 12, cover our tracks and rebuild the chair! Then meet us back home. We'll head to the drop point. Hopefully they're waiting. After that, we'll split up, and then rendezvous is planned. I'll contact the master. He should just be finishing his preparations for the delivery and the upcoming operation. You sure science okay? Good. Sorry, I couldn't be there to help with the band-aids. Whoever the Spawn guy is, he's got some powerful reason to be messing with the government. Most specifically, Wynn. And us. Oh, hold on. I'm not really sure how these are supposed to be read. Alright, hold on. He says, yeah, they want me to cross-check a couple more files tonight before I go. Don't want to take any chances. I swear, everyone's so paranoid. We're all trying to bust this case open, but we keep running into walls, just like our earlier search. Nothing makes sense. And then he says, most specifically, when, and, he says, whoever the Spawn guy is, he's got some powerful reason to be messing with the government. Then he says, most specifically, when, and us. First he saves you, then he tells me you're a traitor. He scares me, Terry. I know we've got protection now, but I still don't feel safe. If Spawn can penetrate your offices, why would a house be a problem? Yeah, I know he knocked last time. That still baffles me. I don't know, Terry. Everything's so out of control. First they try and make you a murderer. Then they try and promote you. And the guy who protected you then wants to kill you. Where does this stop? I'm not willing to lose another husband. Plus that costume freak pretending he was Al. It just makes me sick. What? I'm sorry, my mind just won't stop racing. As soon as I stop reading, bam, I'm right back at it. Tell you what, tomorrow I'll take off early and we'll go up the coast for a few days. Just the three of us. I know they'll try to talk me out of it. I'll just make them understand. Little Tony Bellotto... Yeah, we're gonna use Bellotto. Little Tony Bellotto smiles contentedly as he bustles along. For the first time in a month of angling, he'd actually gotten a bite. Since he never used bait on his makeshift fishing pole, this was quite a huge accomplishment. If he's willing to continue making sacrifices such as school attendance, as he's done 3 times this week, and now a bite, he's already dreaming up his next day's excuse. Ah, no, now what? Crap, I don't need this headache. Tony, you get your butt out of here now! The Bigfoot's been seen around here and he loves eating kids for dinner! And tell you welfare bum of a mother to keep you indoors! Actually, the locals didn't know what they were searching for, but something had left a bloody trail with 2 dead cows and a handful of dogs. They all agreed it had to be some kind of animal. A bear. Maybe a crazed cougar. Whatever. So the sheriff was brought in. Now all that remains is to find the beast, and a sighting had been called in less than an hour earlier. Guys, hey, I've got something here. A fresh kill. It's still warm, what's left of it. Blood hasn't even coagulated yet. Now, how in the hell did it get here with no footprints around? Maybe Bigfoot is a lightweight. Can the jokes, Fred. I've never seen a killing like this before. Roy, hey, where'd your dogs take off to? The woods. Caught a whiff of something. Listen. Woof, 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 woof. Sounds like they've cornered it. Yipe, yipe. God, what was that? Roy knows. The barking had suddenly shifted into high-pitched yelps. He'd heard the sound before, the last time a bear had come onto his land. There it is. Holy jeez, look at the size of it. The Black Terror stands nearly 13 feet at the shoulder, its body now entwined with hard-cased metal. It's barely visible in the darkness. It needs time to feed.
Oh, it is Bigfoot!
Roy, what the hell are you doing now? Shut up, this thing's got my dogs, but not for long. After Roy's first shot, his friends are quick to join in. They're not quite sure where to aim. A few bullets find their mark. The beast recoils. Regaining its balance, the creature turns, slowly. Then the ape is presented an opportunity while shotguns and pistols are frantically reloaded. Killing them would be so easy, but the great primate chooses another course of action. Retreat. It's gone in a heartbeat, sucked into the forest camouflage. Someone radio the sheriff! Give him a fix on that thing! We'll clean up back here. Come on, Roy, it's no use. They won't make it. Look at them. We have to put them out of their pain. Sheriff, this is Andy. Some goddamn ape thing just blew a path through us. What? It's headed for Oak Ridge Creek. One of the county's best fishing holes. This time for sure. Come on, you stupid fish. Bite, like before. Man, that felt good. Tony should have listened the first time. Go home, he was told, but he couldn't. Not after all his luck. He did get a bite after all. Rodney, I'm heading south through the old logging road. I want to cut this creature off at... What? Crash! The project was named Biomechanic Neurological Transferal System, the melding of flesh and weapons. They were trying to build a walking tank, one they could control. It succeeded. Almost. The code name came a bit later. Since this was a cybernetic gorilla, it only made sense. Cygor. That its name now. Cygor. Though everyone in this county will call it something else. Thanks, Bigfoot. As one creature slips back into the blackness, another comes forth. Ah, good, the drugs are working. He's coming too. I want him to see this for himself. See exactly what hell has done to him. Ugh. Where am I? What is this place? Some friggin' Frankenstein castle complete with cloaked henchmen. Don't strain too hard, Hellspawn. It won't make any difference. You see, I figured it out, what you're made of, how you get your powers. It's true the devil gave them to you, but now your strength resides within... resides within. You've become a holding tank, if you will, of evil. Curse! What are you babbling about? You remember me, that's good. Very good, because I haven't forgotten you either. How you nailed me to a wall, ignored my pleas, left me to rot! You wanted me to die, didn't you? Sorry to disappoint you. And your friend Sansker, he wanted me dead, too. Now it's my turn. As you've been observing, my assistants are quite busy, each with a specific job. One carefully stores each extraction. One catalogs and indexes the information. Others monitor the costume, and don't bother trying to deduce how I separated the two of you. Believe me, it was a challenge. Bzzz. The same is true of your chains, though they're showing a great deal more spirit in resisting the dissection. Dissection? Blip. More of an autopsy, actually. But as with any untried procedure, there are side effects. The surgical separation of two joint entities has always been problematic, and it was no different with you and your costume. Still, the operation is far from over, and now that you're awake, I sincerely hope you'll be able to feel the grand finale. The searing pain as I remove your living brain! Next issue, The Conclusion, by McFarlane and Capullo. Issue 41, January 96, Fugitives, Part 2. Ah, Capullo and McFarlane. Oh, great. Great cover there. Armageddon, the place where it all ends. Ultimate good versus ultimate evil in the last best example of holy warfare. The winner, it has been prophesied, will reign eternally. Such a prize is coveted by both sides, the supernaturally opposing camps whose philosophies inspire us humans. While some of us seek harmony with all people and things, others would like nothing better than to thwart and humiliate them. And day by day, heaven and hell nudge us as they've done for untold centuries, grooming us into armies which will charge headlong into battle until the enemy has, at last, been silenced. Now today, some say that the end times have begun. Behavior among many people has become more extreme, and the recruitment of souls has gained a new intensity. And the moment of death, each soul is welcome to both heaven and hell. From this pool of millions, the two sides seek new candidates. Most are worthy, but unremarkable. Accepted, welcomed, absorbed into the assembled whole. And occasionally a jewel works its way to the fore. They are given power, a new life, another chance to use Earth as a learning facility. In heaven, this sort are called angels, and hell, they're known as spawn. Lieutenant Colonel Al Simmons was such a find. He had the right wiring, the gift. Hell could only smile when he came down the chute. For you see, a great army demands great leaders. Al Simmons' life showed his potential. Duty first, blind obedience to his superiors, with a good sense of improvisation in the accomplishment of their goals. In all, a credit to his officially sanctioned assassin's training. Better yet, he had to come willingly into the domain of sin. His love for his wife inspired his infernal bargain. Now he's an officer in training, and the time has come again for hell to put him through his paces, to see if he is truly worthy of his post. And if everything goes right, this spawn will lead the Legions of Darkness through a great and decisive battle, and into victory. All he has to do is pass the tests. Survive the madness. Okay, hold on, guys. Alright, so I'm reading it like this. How does it feel, Hellspawn, to be helpless with no limbs, waiting for the next wave of pain to pour over you? Wow. Let's look at that again. Man. To be a rare object in the hands of a superior. It's not right, is it? That's what I keep telling myself every day I hung in your alley. Every night I was tortured in that bell tower. Pain, you see, is a great stimulus. It clears the mind of its distractions. This allows acceptance of knowledge. You must learn about your enemy before you can destroy it. Years of study have given me great insight into the origin of sin and evil. Where do they gain their power? Why, from within. You are made of necroplasm, the flesh and blood of hell, if you will. And within that flesh dwells hatred, anger, lust, all the deadly sins of mankind. Though God forsook me in my hour of need, it is still my mission to destroy any wickedness. If I can discover your secret, control it, then I will have power over Satan. Then he will have to think twice before sending another of his agents to Earth ever again. While you fight the operation, consider that your death will be the salvation of the millions of souls damned to darkness. Each part of your body is now being prepared for shipment, to be studied by some of the greatest minds on Earth. Each has a passion for purity, for good. But there are still a few details to be ironed out, so I must leave you. But don't worry, the drugs will hold you until I can finish your dissection. You'd seen it before, plenty of times. A piece lying here, another hanging there. It's what war is about, messages, the louder the better. You were only 21 years at the time. 21 years old at the time, rather. It bothered you that someone so young could tune out the horrors. The captain said the area was secured. You and Tim were to carve a pathway northeast. Even when they happened to... Excuse me. We gotta redo that. Hold on. It's what war's about. Messages. The louder, the better. You were only 21 years old at the time. It bothered you that someone so young could tune out the horrors. Even when they happened to you. The captain said the area was secured. You and Tim were to carve a pathway northeast. The ambush caught you both flat-footed, but the two of you held out, saying nothing other than to cuss your enemy. He wanted to know your unit's new mission. Demanding to know again and again, and each time you held silence, your partner paid the price. Tim begged you to say nothing. Said he would rather die than betray his friends. It took almost 10 hours before Tim stopped moving. Now it was your turn, and all you could think about was how you'd give anything to be able to exact revenge. It's the first instance you can recall of wanting to murder. Pow! His name was Saigon, the soldier who saved you. After that day, you learned to kill together. So what's the status of things today? The Pentagon and the Bureau are still creeping around, and it seems some people are not quite satisfied with the random attack theory. We've done our best to quell any damaging speculation. Their final questioning has been delayed until your release from the hospital. They want to meet with you at your earliest convenience. Screw those Boy Scouts! Get me home! Yes, sir. Hounded by government investigators since his CIA office was attacked, Jason Wynn has done a superb job of fabricating lies close enough to the truth to satisfy most queries. But it's international standing within a secret cartel. Excuse me. But it's his international standing within a secret cartel that is his biggest concern. Hey, Gimp! About time you showed! I was beginning to think I'd been stood up by a cripple! Hee hee! Got it? How the hell'd you get in? My, a little edgy, are we? Look, Wynn, you shouldn't be surprised with me anymore. I do things. Accept it. Like this whole Spawn fiasco. I told you I'd take care of things, didn't I? I'm not impressed so far. Yes, you are, otherwise you'd have tried to kill me already. But the problem, my dear Jason, is that you haven't lived up to your part of the deal. See, if it wasn't for me, those government lads would have strung you up by your balls last week. Instead, I've left a couple loose ends dangling that can easily be capped, which they'll be if you get your act together. I've asked you for only one thing. Harass the crap out of my pal Spawn. Lying on your back in a hospital ain't doing it for me. Terry, Wanda, Grandma Blake, remember them? The noose isn't around their necks tight enough. I'll take care of them. I'm counting on it. South. That's the direction it's been heading for 5 days. Eating occasionally along the way, always melding with the shadows of the roadside growth, and never traveling during daylight. That would be bad. The creature does know right from wrong. I love you, Sue. No, you don't. You're drunk. Yes, I am. So, please, baby, tell me you need me too. Oh, for the love of Pete, control yourself and your breath. Whew! Come on, let's go inside. It's too cramped back here. With the windows rolled up, the young couple's activities can send conflicting messages, such as possible rape. A perfect soldier, that's what the various technicians attempted to create. Cybernetic appendages were surgically grafted to flesh. The first experiments failed miserably. A normal man couldn't tolerate the pain once the drugs wore off. Another subject was needed, man's evolutionary cousin, the ape. Only the biggest and strongest of the illegal imported simians were sent to the lab, ones capable of enduring the atrocities. After incorporating steel alloy joints with cartilage and muscle, the next step was to see if the primate's body would accept the foreign parts. It did. Then came the crux of the entire operation, transferal of a human mind, gradually into the beast's consciousness. The ideal was a 90% human to 10% ape ratio, just enough lower primate to withstand the ever-present pain. But when the balance hit 50-50, something went wrong. Drastically wrong! Now those who bankrolled the venture have seen their asset... Hold on, we'll try that one again. Now those who bankrolled the venture have seen their asset just up and leave. They want it back. Intact. Put that away, Kurt. You know they don't want any damage done to the monkey. Just a precaution, in case somebody pokes their nose where it don't belong. Give it a rest, Kurt. We were hired to detain it if possible. The field ops will see to its capture. We just need to pinpoint it, then we're through. So quit looking for trouble. Our clients are pissy enough as it is. Haven't seen them like this in years. And they sure ain't gonna be too happy that their monkey boy might come into civilian contact. That'll draw necessary attention. Hope the creature's smart enough to avoid that town. It wasn't. Come on, baby. Just a bit closer. That should do it. Don't know if this'll work, but what are my options? 20 minutes. That's how long it took him to inch the gurney a couple of yards. Another half dozen minutes pass. The knife nearly slips out twice, and then does actually fall when its task is complete. Clang! Have to concentrate. No, it's going in the wrong direction. It takes another 3 minutes for mind and limbs to get in sync. Thud! Damn! Thunk! Damn, the drugs made me too weak! Though he wasn't convinced the ploy would work, Spawn is crushed by its failure. Even had he succeeded, it might not have mattered, for just then, curse returns. I want each piece properly handled and sealed so that there is no loss of liquid in any of the containers. Double-check the buoyancy levels. I don't need any tissue getting unduly harmed. The data we glean from these demon parts must be as uncorrupted as possible, especially the final and greatest treasure, his brain! Therein lies the key to unlock all my answers. Residing somewhere in his subconscious is the reason for evil. So look around one last time. These will be the final images your vile mind shall ever perceive. Your decapitation will culminate years of research. A lifetime of work is finally to be rewarded. I'll make this as painful as possible. Ha ha ha! What's this? You've lost a hand. Impressive. But your shackles instantly negate such escapes. Your wrists wouldn't be able to slip through the special sensors. But I must commend you. Self-amputation is an act requiring courage. By now you've noticed that I removed my remaining arm since we last met. The voice of Curse is suddenly drowned out. A hairline fracture in the holding tank was all the uniform needed. Spawn's hand had done its job. So now, like some rabid, starving beast released from its cage, the uniform goes wild. Flailing, screaming, destroying, it seeks its host's body, the one thing that will nourish it. Then, awareness grows. Its host is not gone, only fragmented. It rampages now with direction, swallowing the former Al Simmons piece by piece, limb by limb. Slowly, fluidly, as if assembling some Frankenstein's monster from the guts on out. When the final appendage is ingested, the living costume turns to its captor. Pain. The curse is about to learn the meaning of that word. Day breaks. Finally satisfied with its revenge, the costume focuses within, twitches, jigs, shakes, gently modifies its rushed assembly of its host. Then, like a satanic Raggedy Andy, Spawn rises. Here we go. The costume's revisions were somewhat successful. That's a different costume now. Don't gloat, demon. It's not over. Oh, yes it is. Then you're more ignorant than I thought. First rule of thumb, Hellspawn. Never start a war unless you're willing to die for it. Boom, I guess you could say. The aftermath, next issue. Things are getting tense. Issue 42, February 1996, Fanboy. Okay, Conrad again. The thing is traveling at extraordinary speed. Red hot before it's gone a mile. Spinning, twisting, contorting. Its pulpy interior is protected by an outer shell, now unexpectedly displaying the endurance of vanadium steel. And though still weak from its severance, it did manage to locate and swallow everything. The arms, legs, torso, even the head. Every piece was accounted for. The host must be functional, must benefit the system, and must receive protection. Scrush! So that's what it delivered. Arranging itself into an aerodynamic shape, a reentry system from hell. The parting shot hit with the force of an impacting comet, blasting the living uniform and its passenger away. Within seconds, they're blown from the curse's rural West Virginia castle. Oh, it was in West Virginia. To a bed of winter deadened growth 2 miles away. The costume's hell-born instincts for self-preservation had served its dominant function. The continued protection of its form inside. Of the form inside, rather. Its host, Al Simmons, Spawn. Like a scarecrow now, without the physical structure to bear its own weight, Spawn rises. Not by his own desire, but because his costume compels him to do so. Connecticut. So, unless some of the reports in this file are fabrications, we've got quite implicit connections between Chief Banks and the murder of the Jennings child. Cripes, I didn't think Banks was that competent. Unfortunately, sir, it appears that he was. There's always something fishy about the whole Billy Kincaid timeline. Kincaid was being detained regarding another child's disappearance. The investigator in charge was abruptly transferred by Banks to another case, for no stated reason, and Kincaid was then released on his own recognizance. He soon headed in a conspicuous path towards Senator Jennings' daughter. Kincaid stood out like a sore thumb in that neighborhood. The clerk at the 7-Eleven identified him without hesitation. It's as if someone pointed him in the senator's direction, with the clear intention of sending Jennings a message, not a massage, by kidnapping his daughter, and then slaughtering her. Yes, sir. Billy's dead long since, so he ain't given us any answers. No, sir, but if we can follow up a few more leads, it looks as though the evidence will conclusively link Chief Banks to the murder of the senator's daughter. Still, I'm a bit confused as to why Billy was left alive after the Jennings murder. Eliminating him then, perhaps scapegoating an overzealous rookie cop for good measure, would surely have closed the case and buried any hint of conspiracy, unless he was being held as an ace if the heat got turned up. So, you don't think Spawn is a part of this? Slurp. It doesn't appear so, but it does beg the question of how he acquired the secret file on Banks that he gave us. We'll figure that out later. Right now we've got Banks nailed to the wall. I don't want him wriggling loose. He won't. Meanwhile, who was he working for? Someone at the CIA who needed the odd domestic job done? That's likely given Banks' telephone records. It'll probably take another year to track all that down. That's what I'm thinking. Oh. Hello, Sam. Nice to see you again. Gulp. Don't get up. I'm just on my way out for a run. You making any headway on your case? Believe me, we're trying, sweetheart. Blah, 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 blah. Lord have mercy. So, do you agree with that theory, sir? Huh? Sorry, I wasn't listening. Puff, come on, legs. Move, move. Puff, puff. Gotta beat him to the meadow. I always lose them there. Credo, West Virginia, where life moves at a pace to which New Yorkers are unaccustomed. He's Pat Chinesi, the class geek. Every Wednesday after school, they follow him. When he comes out of the store after making his new purchases, the chase begins. It's almost become a ritual. Oh, please, please, please. I hope none got bent. Gotta check them over, but not till I get to the hideout. It's safe there. I swear if even one corner is wrecked, I'm gonna tell their moms. Like a coiled python, it attacks. Quickly. Forcefully. The cloak doesn't like intruders. Don't hurt me. I'll do anything you want. Anything. Sensing that the boy poses no threat, the cape releases him. Get out of here, boy, before you get hurt.
What do you mean? Are you okay, mister? You don't look so good.
I'm fine. Just leave. Don't anger it. Did you hear me? I said it might. I might just hurt you. I don't have control.
Of what? Your costume? You mean it's alive, just like Venom's? That means you're a superhero, a real live one.
Not quite. A moment passes and Spawn feels the livery relax.
This is so great. I mean, you're a hero, just like in my comics. Here, let me show you my newest ones. I just got them today. Tommy and his gang of bullies try to steal them every week. Hey, are you a part of them? Are you a part of a team?
Excuse me?
You know, like Youngbloods, the Avengers, Fantastic Four, the X-Men. You like comics? I love them, especially the mutants. They're the coolest. Though it's tough keeping track of all their books. You know, X-Force used to be my favorite till Tony Daniels left. It's still okay, I guess. And Spidey, I like him too, crawling around buildings and stuff. Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, what's your answer? You a part of a group or what?
No.
That's okay. Lots of neat heroes stay to themselves. Superman, Hulk, the Max, Savage Dragon, even the Pit. Sure wish that book came out more often. Even Batman. Have you seen any of the movies?
What movies?
The Batman ones. There's been three of them. You couldn't have missed all of them. Where you been?
Away for a very long time.
Then you don't know about Image Comics either.
No.
Oh wow, are they fucking gonna break the fourth wall? Too bad. They're the best. Well, I guess it's pretty tough being a good guy, huh?
Spawn can only smile.
Well, I'm gonna be one when I grow up, and practicing and everything. You even got me a symbol. Ta-da! It stands for the terrorizer. What's yours stand for?
Nothing.
Sure it does. They all do. It looks like a big M to me. So what are your powers?
Don't know yet.
You don't know what's...
Oh, hold on. No. That's not Mel Bolger reading that. Sorry, guys. I got a little off track. Even though it was kind of funny to hear him read that. It looks like a big M to me. So what are your powers?
Don't know yet.
You don't know what superpowers you have? That's not very smart. Well, then, did somebody give you your strength?
You could say that.
What was his name?
Mel Bolger.
That's a pretty funny name, but it does begin with an M.
You don't know what you're talking about, kid.
Okay, how about this? Did this Mel Bolger guy give power to anyone else that you know of?
Yes.
And does he have the same mark?
The Vision rushes headlong at him. The Violator's human form does have a mark on his forehead. Perfect match for the one on Spawn's chest. It really is an M. It is an M. Holy shit. He's not lying.
Told ya. But you know what I haven't figured? How do you become a good guy? I mean a real one, not a pretend one. I'd like to know, seriously.
I don't have your answers, son. If I did, I wouldn't be stuck in a barn now, would I?
Yeah, I guess not.
What's your name?
Pat. It's not... Excuse me.
Listen, Pat, being a hero isn't about capes and costumes. It's about actions and how you choose them.
It's not that easy. In case you haven't guessed, I'm the class nerd. The teacher likes me, but that's about it. I don't have any friends, really. The kids at school can be kind of cruel at times, too, but I'm too scared to fight.
Strength isn't about muscles, Pat. It's about standing up for what's right, even if others disagree.
You sound like my dad.
I'm not trying to lecture you, but you know there's evil in the world. It comes in many forms. Each of us has to stand up to it sometime, and in our own way.
I understand. I think. Can I ask you something else? Do you know much about girls? There's this girl, see? Her name is Pam Williams. I like her lots. She's smart and very cute. Problem is, she doesn't know I'm alive. Do you have a girlfriend?
Yes, I do.
What's her name?
Wanda.
Okay, this is the last of it.
Oh, excuse me. Wrong.
Okay, this is the last of it. Thanks for holding sign while I brought the groceries in.
You know I'd be holding her anyway. She's such a sweet girl and big, I can hardly keep up with her.
Terry tells me that the children's wing at the hospital is coming along nicely. That huge donation was a godsend.
It was.
Hopefully you'll be able to thank the proper person someday. I doubt it. The donation was in cash after all. And no note. Totally anonymous. Well, whoever it is must really love children. And speaking of good news, how about the way things have taken care of themselves with the IRS? It's unbelievable. You know how worked up about it I was. Then got a little godsend myself. Somehow my taxes are all in order and they even increased my pension check. Let's be glad for the little things. How are you and Terry holding up with all this bombing scandal stuff?
Fine. It's just so hard sometimes. They're really pushing him at work. I don't think they trust him. He comes home so tired, so distant.
You okay, Wanda? Mama, up! Pee's up!
Yeah, just a cough. I must be coming down with something. Probably all this stress.
The great beast rests for a moment. This is not the right place. Not big enough. Not tall enough. It must be behind the clouds. He has to get to the right place. They have the secret there. His brain, what's left of it, tells him so. But first, he must feed. He remembers that you must be strong to enter the right place, for it is where things get lost. Where things disappear. A jungle, that's what it is. A massive gray jungle, with shadows to hide many secrets.
New York.
Soon, very soon, he will find it. And those who made him. Just behind the clouds, Manhattan, 12th Precinct, Station House, 3:18 a.m. Do you think this is proper, sir?
Screw proper!
We need to get our hands on his Rolodex. You've already agreed. To stand guard, that's all. Fine. Here's what you need, boys. Keys that might unlock some dark secrets. Oh, don't look so surprised. The whole building knows you and Banks are warring, and people are taking sides. Me? I'm just out for self-preservation, which means I need a favor from you boys. You see, like yourselves, I've recently incurred the chief's wrath. My leash wasn't as tight as they would have liked.
So I've just been informed that today is to be my last day with the Force. I'm in the process of cleaning out my office. And those keys hide something? I don't know. Depends on what you're looking for. But the files sit in a cabinet that isn't usually locked. They're afraid I might take one. Guess they didn't think I'd make duplicate keys. So why are you doing this? Like I said, self-preservation. If they think someone else is looking where they shouldn't, that distracts them from me. The people Banks hangs out with are heavy hitters. Sir, look at they don't mess around. Sir, look at this. You guys can buy me some time to disappear. Bingo! Receipts from a courier service for moving items from one point to another. Some up to 4 or 5 times a day, all ending up at various financial institutions. My gut tells me we do a little poking around and we've got a web connecting politicians, a murderer, cops, CIA, and businessmen, all involved in some twisted plan, all triggered by the death of Senator Jennings' daughter. Damn them, Twitch. Kincaid was just a tool, someone they could use for career advancement. Well, I hope they're comfortable now, because they're about to get crapped on. The moon shines bright in West Virginia, guiding young Pat's footsteps through the darkness. Lost in thought as he walks homeward, Pat mulls over everything Spawn tried to tell him about life, girls, heroism, and the power from within. This isn't the first time Tom and his bullies have attacked poor Pat, trying to steal his comics and any leftover pocket change. But tonight's outcome will be the first that they could not have predicted. Quit squirming, you runt! We ain't through yet! Hey, he's getting away! You're toast, Four Eyes! His transformation happens quickly. I don't think so! I'm tired of being afraid! Well, no more! You guys are nothing but a bunch of stupid jerks! Tommy, do you see him? Oh my god! Look at him! His eyes! Let's get out of here, quick! You chickens can't take it when somebody's actually not scared! Spawn's emphatic homily didn't have exactly the results he was hoping for. Pat was taking his newfound confidence in an exaggerated direction, which for a 9-year-old boy isn't all that surprising. So who's gonna be first? How about all of them? Each is evil in some small fashion, just enough to attract the parasitic uniform of Spawn! What are you doing? I thought they were afraid of me, not you. I didn't need you to sneak up behind me. You made me look like a fool. Are you listening? You're hurting them, can't you see? Not really. The costume has taken over most of his neural systems again. Spawn's actions are now predicated on the cloak's emotions. Put him down! Put him down! I could have handled them. I didn't need your help. Why are you doing this? Why? It followed you here on its own. I can't stop it. No more! I don't want your help! None of it! I don't need you! The boys are dropped. Good, now stay! Okay, Tommy, scram! I'll make sure it doesn't come after you! Come on, hurry! You heard him! A few minutes later, Spawn disappears into the night. When the boys' parents talk it over, they'll rationalize it away as a tiff between the youngsters. A couple of them will be grounded. None will be believed. But they know. That's all that really matters to them. To him. There he is. I hope he says yes. Hello, how are things going? My name is... Pam Williams. Pleased to meet ya. Thanks. I heard about what you did yesterday. How you helped Tommy and his friends. Everyone's talking about it. That was very brave of you, Pat. We're all impressed. I think it's so cool what you did. So I was wondering if you'd like to be my date for the Sadie Hawkins dance on Friday. It'd be an honor to go with the Skull Hero.
Yep.
That's the red pill in action right there.
He goes from, what would it be, the incel? I mean, the geek? I mean, we called him the geek or the nerd back in the day.
But now he's like, oh, you became the hero. You did, like, we got so many 90s movies about this. Like, there's actually a version of the Never-Ending Story. Never-Ending Story Part 3. Where it's literally that. The young boy, he didn't have any skills. He comes back and he learns all these skills and beats all the bullies up. And the girl's like, well, you're a hero. My hero. I mean, that it's crazy that that was the kind of message we got growing up. Like the bullied kid would always have some moment where he beats up the bullies and gets the girl. Like that was the thing, man.
43, February 1996, Evil. Capullo and McFarlane. Wow, we're 100 in. 5:51 a.m. About 21 minutes later than he'd like. Cripes! Honk, honk, I don't believe it. Come on, get the lead out, sir.
Uh-oh.
Jeez, I promised him I wouldn't be late again. Gotta think quick. Sorry, Twitch, I'm working on a big case. You know how it can be. I had to finish a very crucial phone call. By chance, does the number begin with a 900?
What? Oops!
900 used to be the sex lines, by the way, for those of you who are kind of wondering what that reference is. Okay, okay, you got me. I'm running late, but tomorrow, for sure. See, back in the days before OnlyFans, people would actually call a woman, like on a sex line, and she would actually talk dirty to them, and they cost like $3 a minute. Now they do the same, except they actually get to see the girl, and it costs a lot more because the men just give them the money. Different. Instead of being charged, they just give it to them now. It's weird. I don't get it. Moments later, so did you have any luck last night? Some. I checked the routes of all the couriers who had receipts in the new file. It's fairly obvious that Chief was receiving kickbacks and bribes early in his career. It was all being laundered through an account at Chase Manhattan Bank. The cash came from certain political operatives intent on having unobstructed paths before them. And, yeah, we did that right. And the best way to do that is to have mayors and commissioners assign certain friends to key positions, such as chief of police. Exactly. The problem is most of the information was given to internal affairs, and they swept it under the carpet. Meaning that City Hall and the CIA are involved in the cover-up around the senator's child murder. Which leaves us where, sir? Completely vulnerable. Well, I don't know if that's supposed to... Yeah, I did that right. The final 20 minutes of their drive is silent. Each is painfully aware they're sitting on a time bomb. And one that's already begun ticking. Morning, Joe. So what's the good word? I can't let you park in the compound. Why? Got some paperwork revoking your parking space. I double-checked. It's all official. Sorry. What the hell do you mean? Get out of the way. I'll settle this in 5 minutes. Clerical's always screwing up parking assignments. You heard Joe. You're not welcome anymore. Now back this piece of crap out of here. Where can they park? Who cares as long as it ain't here? Capiche, boys? 8 blocks away. Damn. That was the closest spot they could find after a 25-minute walk in freezing weather. Detective Sam Burke is about to burst. Someone's dead, and I don't mean pretty dead. I mean ugly, wretched dead. I'm sure there's a logical explanation, sir. Go to hell, Twitch. As they stomp through the precinct house, both detectives are oblivious to the pointed glances of their co-workers. They know something. Hey, what's going on here? Who are you? And what are you doing in my office? I... Talk fast. Who said you could do this with my files? I did. You see, I've decided today's your last day, gentlemen. Remember how you brought internal affairs to my doorstep? Well, I do believe enough time has passed so that your firing won't seem to be an act of revenge, which it is. I told you I can be a very patient man. And now this, your ham-fisted tampering with my phone records. Tsk, tsk. Very sloppy work, Sammy, even for you. Bite me. Now it's time for me to return the favor. Internal Affairs just got a stack of paper implicating you in numerous unauthorized investigations. I promise your time would come. Now what do you have to say? Bam! You're dead. We're going down, but you're coming with us. How dare you! You're finished, wiped out, you hear? No medical, no pension, nothing! Later. I don't know what I'm going to tell my wife and the children. Don't worry, it'll be okay. He ain't getting away with nothing. You want a bite of this? It's great. No, thank you, sir. I've lost my appetite. Getting fired does that to me. I'd almost forgotten how acting like a pig helps you settle your nerves. Listen, didn't you notice I didn't get mad at Banks? You know why? Because we got the file.
Plus the new ones. That fat phony fart is a dead man. He just don't know it yet. You said you got a connection in one of the papers. Well, it's time to go public and put that pecker in his place. Get my drift? Grumps.
I suppose we don't have much of a choice, though being down so many public officials might be a tough sell, especially coming from two seemingly disgruntled workers, but I'll try. Hours pass. As twilight gives way to the inevitable darkness, they appear, the nocturnal creatures. Some crawl, others stalk or slither, but all heed the summons. This call has been going out for the past two evenings. The insects are the first to arrive, bringing nourishment and strength to this being conceived in hell. As one, they give their gift of life, of energy, each slowly drained of its sweet nectar, evil. The one attribute they share. For it is written, God shed his light on earth in the name of goodness, and those who dare shun it shall forever remain stained in evil. Those which live below the soil, those which live in the complete absence of light, are passive conduits for the evil that roams free, the wilding that is stronger at night. Worms, maggots, bugs, and large numbers there are as considerable, enough to fortify a larger evil host. Such as vampires or hellspawn. When the fortification is stable, larger beasts are needed. They're drawn to the living costume by instinct. Their mere presence encourages a free flow of black energy. Madness, sin, hatred. It's been given a multitude of names. However, evil, that's what it is. Pure and simple, and spawned, unbreakable. As the wolf skulks closer, it preys at the spawn's mind. A random memory is triggered. Wanda. God, I remember. It was her birthday. She was so excited to be going out that night. Spent all day getting herself ready. She was so beautiful. When I came home late, she could see I hadn't remembered. When the phone rang calling me back to work, I could almost see steam shoot from her ears. She trashed a full-length mirror after I left. Couldn't imagine what she was thinking. Didn't want to try. Then she heard it. Something in the house, off the bedroom. I still don't know why she didn't call the police. Lucky for me. When she finally opened the bathroom door, she saw it. The puppy. Arshana. I'll never forget how Wanda cried when she picked up the dog, or how utterly surprised she was as I stepped out of the shower, dapper and ready for a night on the town. Wanda had other plans, though. She didn't want to leave the puppy so soon. Instead, we shared a soothing bath, washing and caressing each other. Then we made love until we fell asleep in each other's arms. Shana joined us. My past negligence on social occasions... Social. My past negligence on special occasions had worked to my advantage. The call from work was a setup, as was my feigned ignorance. But both bought me enough time to sneak in the back door, after hurriedly getting dressed at the neighbor's. Then, strategically, I planted the pup and hid myself. It was perfect. She was perfect. God, I miss her. It'd be near impossible for me to get into the print that, to get this into print that quickly. Even if it's all true, the time it'd take to corroborate all that you're telling me. I understand, Mr. Taylor, which is why I brought this. A file? Yes, the leading edge of a paper trail so thick a blind man could trip over it, as long as he's pointed in the right direction. Inside you'll find documented facts that'll save you weeks. They're all here, Chief Banks, his boys, and a few special friends. Listen, Twitch, you've always been straight with me, but this is too big. Even if I can get my editor to come on board with this, which is a big if, going after the CIA is suicide, I've seen it. Look, Taylor, you want to keep writing about muggings and store openings? Fine. But this story is true, and it'll make someone's career. Let's get out of here, Twitch. I'm sure there's someone hungry at the New York Post. Please, Mr. Taylor, I'm not asking you to do anything you're not capable of. Well, I've been afraid a few times in my life, too. Thank you for your time. Okay, I'll do my best. That's all I ask. Pretty slick, Twitch. Guilt gets him every time. Evil is ascendant. The day is long over. Ooh, excuse me. The day is long over. Evil is ascendant. And so they come, hell's children, ready to give, awaiting its signal. Then they hear it. The Heart of Darkness beating anew. He's been in his editor's... He's been in his editor's office for over an hour, shooting down every question the paper's attorneys could possibly ask. The truth, or at least its approximation, must not be compromised. This is great work, Taylor. With our circulation in the toilet, this could be our mother load. Now, you sure you haven't missed anything? Not a thing. Good. Then leave it with me. I'll make a few calls myself, just to make sure of a couple of things. But Mr. Salakrup, I assure you that... Look, Taylor, if I'm going to stick my neck out a mile, I'd like to rest easy it won't get chopped off. We're messing with an old boy network here. A call is made. That leak then trickles past 8 people and 4 unconnected government offices until finally pulling at the foot of its orchestrator. Mr. Wynn, what do you want us to do? Something quite simple. Collapse all support around Banks immediately. Whatever loop exists, make it disappear. No one must acknowledge him. Use the code word meltdown. I want every trail to double back on our dear Chief Banks. Then have the appropriate people modify the Tribune's story. 2 more days pass. My guy said the story hits tomorrow, guaranteed. Where'd they get it from? The reporter's keeping its source confidential. We're still working on it. But what this means is that you've been made the sacrificial lamb. Everyone you wanted me to call is conveniently out of their offices. Your network of political friends is being shielded. The bribes, the murder, the whole scheme is landing in your lap. They can't do this to me. I've served them too well. Never mind, I'll make this all go away. No, he won't. That reality is beginning to sink in. I don't care if he's on vacation. Somebody has to know where he is. The same scene plays out repeatedly that night. Then, the next morning, kid killer linked to police chief. Senator's daughter's death under new scrutiny. Baby killer, thief. Baby killer, thief. The labels swallow him. Though no one has repeated them to his face, he knows how they think. Everyone within the precinct is the same, hiding behind hushed voices or closed doors. He shouldn't have trusted anyone. Chief, it's your wife again. She's crying. Please. She wants to talk to you for just a minute. Leave me alone, all of you. Al Gilley. Bob Camonico. He could count on them always. They never turned their backs on him, but others knew that too. So Chief Banks is almost numb when an anonymous phone caller informs him that both Al and Bob were lost at sea yesterday in a tragic boating accident. The Caribbean Coast Guard is still searching for any signs of life. Banks knows they're wasting their time. The situation defies easy analysis. What's clear is that Louis Banks, police chief of New York's 12th precinct, has been tied to events which led several years ago to the death of 8-year-old Amanda Jennings, daughter of D.C. Appropriations Senator Paul Jennings. Banks' name was connected with the affair of a suspect, with the affair when a suspect, William Kincaid, was found dead in Banks' office, an unsolved crime for which Banks was not accused. Banks, whose precinct includes the Bowery, held a number of jobs before being appointed police chief from sheriff in a small county in Delaware to head of a private security firm in Washington, D.C. His connection with Jennings dates from that time when his firm dismissed from job performance irregularities. Sketchy details suggest that he had held an intelligence position in the nation's capital before the unexplained move up to the chief's job. The flap over a criminal cover-up in the Bowery is just the most recent indication that official corruption in this city is out of control. A person can't help but be nostalgic for a time when scandals are breaking out on the Upper West Side of Gramercy Park. Those regions knew how it was done, with subtlety, style, and wink. If the forces of justice were accountable, these affairs would have been given the public airing they deserve rather than being hushed up by the new money in town. Instead, we're left with miserable crimes against children from the poorest quarters of town. The only interesting thing about the whole affair is the tragedy of Chief Banks, a man who's moved from job to well-uninformed job. Excuse me, I did that again, didn't I? A man who's moved from job to well-uniformed job, only to end up scraping bottom wearing suits off the rack from Woolworths. Us poor folk about a police chief who might have abetted a child murderer? A mass child murderer? I love this town! Let's see how the facts line up. Chief Banks, formerly Sheriff Banks, formerly Rent-A-Cop Banks, formerly ROTC Second Lieutenant Banks, comes out of nowhere and is appointed for no apparent reason to the most obscure precinct in Manhattan.
Now we're told there's a direct link between him, the dear child of a senator, and Kitty Killer Kincaid. And wait, he also held a job in intelligence? Hey, are we supposed to believe he was demoted from the CIA to riding herd on drunks, and then took his frustrations out on the senator's kid when the agency had their budget slashed? The agency had, excuse me, of course this suggests the spooks are controlling the cops. Nah, that would be illegal. The mayor, police commissioner, governor, he won't return any of their calls. Isolation, it plays with the mind. Look at them. Bunch of parasites looking for some freak show. The media, their ethics and social responsibilities have been debated endlessly, but ultimately, they still have a job to do. As do others. You have the subpoena with you? Yes, then let's get this over with. As federal investigators entered the building, one commented that no official charges had been laid. They plan on questioning Chief Lewis Banks about... I hope they fry the bugger, Twitch. So do I, sir, but our files should have exposed some others, too. Something went wrong. Hey, feds, why don't you try catching some crooks instead of hassling one of us? This it, then? Damn you, Wynn. What's up? It's locked. Open up, Banks, you've got nowhere to go. Yes, he does. Blam! Another black rose blooms in hell tonight. Issue 44, March 1996, Avenger. This has been a very good volume. It started with Christmas, and then it's gone straight to hell and back. Cool. Not right, it's not natural. We all know it. I'm just not afraid to voice it. So you can all rot here while you await your selection, but I'm tired of being wasted here in second flight. It's time. They can think I'm questioning the power protocol if they want, but this is about nature, keeping things pure. Angela's forgotten that she's lost her focus, the supposed best of the best. Priority flight A1. Well, not the way I see it. She's forfeited her position by committing her sin. Heaven does not tolerate hell. Evil must be vanquished. But now Angela wears her treason like a badge of honor. Why else would she have given that hellspawn a chance to escape? She, more than anyone, knows the sacred rule. Still, she consorted with him, shared fluids. It was a choice beyond imagining. Why won't they see that? While I wait here at the gate, she's mocking the laws. Again, they're referencing the Angela miniseries, which I haven't read, and probably need to. Oh, don't give me that look. I know this will be non-sanctioned, but the need is clear-cut, and you all know it. This is one of Malbolgia's soul suckers we're talking about. That's all the sanction I need. Damn, those are some hot angels for sure. Wow. They've never been scores higher than mine at any of the flight levels. I pegged the meter in all categories. No one else was even close. I shattered all of Angela's old records. I'm ready to take her place as priority A1. I just have to take out this spawn, quickly and without mercy. Then the flight supervisors will see I've proven myself, that I should be the one. And if you're thinking it's too late, forget it. That zeal indictment from pre-flight training never went on my permanent record. I retained my shimmer. I'm clean, officially. Dusk. The triumph of The triumph of darkness over the retreating light. The passing of light's influence over the land. When the balance between good and evil begins to shift. Soon shadows will populate the grounds, multiplying with each heartbeat. Darkness will once again triumph over the weakening light, releasing the servants of night. And so they come, seduced by the twilight's dance, for the ritual necessitates those that carry the nourishment of hell. Thus does the darkness replenish itself, reconciling the living dead in some blasphemous parody of photosynthesis, transforming the unsettling into something unholy. Its dance is one the parasitic shroud knows well. How exhilarating the sounds of their eager approach! Satan's children spring forth, anticipating the moment of the sun's banishment. The creatures of the dark, a blood moon, the soil itself all bring forth their dark cash of evil into to the supplicant, a hellspawn weakened. They must conserve the host's body. Shelter it, quench its vile thirst by strengthening the symbiote. Worms, maggots, the dregs of a dark earth where bones and blood of the dead enrich the hungry dirt. A ribbed sticking meal that will again
Okay. That will again enmesh the protective layer with its vessel. The dank juices slake this macabre thirst, moistening crusty layers damaged by their recent radical dismemberment. And so it feeds in a demanding ritual of slathering hell blood spilt carelessly. No, we didn't do that. We did not do that right. Let's redo this whole one again. The dank juices slake this macabre thirst, moistening crusty layers damaged by their recent radical dismemberment. And so it feeds in a demanding ritual of slathering hell blood split caressingly upon this uniform of darkness, gasping in the rush of its hellish stimulation. The body climaxes, the orgasmic wrenching shooting agony through its violated, swaddled tissues. Man, that sounded like some of the other work I do. He receives a cascade of flashing moments. Crimes against the hot vessel are flushed from memory's void. Images of a rotting body where once dwelled a heart. The experiment, the extraction, the pain. All spun together by the curse. In a bizarre attempt to retrieve hidden secrets that might endow him with control over evil, he paid dearly for his venture. For the secrets are eternal, lay before our eyes every day, every night. Their meaning is impossible to grasp, so we reach for lucid thoughts, those that will calm us and bring comfort. Wanda.
Sir, it's somewhat dark. Yeah, let me get the light here. Click. Thank you, sir. Yeah, sure. Now, where did I... Ah, there it is. I've got some cold leftover pizza, Twitch. Lots of extra toppings. Care for a slice? No thanks, sir. I'm not much for extra toppings. Suit yourself. I see you've added a few new touches to the place.
Chomp.
Yeah, glad you noticed. I've had some spare time since Banks fired us. May he rot in hell. Still haven't told your wife yet. I can't. Not yet. It'd break her heart, which makes all this even harder to take. Banks shouldn't have taken the fall himself. That file Spawn gave you indicted a slew of others.
Chomp, chomp, warp.
There's your answer. He's the only one player left that seems to be outcast from the others. It does seem to be our most likely target for now, especially since we won't have police clearance anywhere else. If we get some quick answers from him, this case will bust wide open. Come on, sir, finish your pizza. We've got work to do. He reaches in desperation for thoughts to soothe his inner and outer anguish. But as if reacting to his eroded state, they scatter. Carried away on the wings of night, his sacrifice was for love, now that nobility has been taken. Twisted. Mutated into a sickening joke of cruelty and pain, separating him even further from the one he came back for.
Wanda!
Blip! Reality, and it's too bizarre to be anything but. Reality then rears its fuzzy head. 6801. It does last long, caught again in the middle of some hellish feeding ritual. Al Simmons can feel a kinetic flow from creature to costume. Black energy transferals what the spawn hunting manuals label it. A way for each hellspawn to maintain its K readings, a method to jumpstart itself with its environment's evil. But the link shatters, the great bear senses... The great bear senses a presence in the shadows and moves towards the intruder.
You'll drain no more strength from this beast, parasite! Bloosh!
Your symbiote's levels are obviously ebbing. That's good. Perfect. The heavens are smiling on me to find you and recharge. This shouldn't take long. You see, hell scum, your touch has contaminated what was once pure, spoiling one who was once devoted to good. Now she's tainted, like you. You're both going to burn now. You and your once heavenly concubine, Angela!
Angela?
You understand why you soil the... Try that again, guys. You, I understand. Why you soil the goodness you touch? No. Hold on. It's like take three. You, I understand why you soil the goodness you touch. Your master lords over all he creates, but Angela, she has no excuse. She knows better.
Chank!
She is no longer one of the pure. Now she's a Hellcast. The next step to Hellspawn. That's it. Fight! I've waited too long to have you cower now, demon. So get up! You, costume, use your host's intelligence, his war instincts. If I'm to defy my superiors, it must be for an extreme cause. That's you. Your death will get me inside the holy walls. Splash! So you're some kind of angel, is that it? Like Angela, wanting a trophy for your showcase. Well, screw you. Keep pushing, please. I've seen the damage my armor can inflict when it wants. You just have to trigger it. Brave talk, or maybe just a bluff. You're weak. We both know that. Your symbiote's not prepared. I wonder if this is how Angela conquered so many. Using weak kills to pad her reputation. I knew her victories were overstated. The weak slaying the weak. No wonder you found each other. You're both abominations, whose transgressions scream for unholy punishment. Yeah! I just love... Hold on. Yeah, I just love some angry little vixen beating Simmons like a maggot-headed stepchild. He's too stupid to even know how screwed he is. Yeah, with heaven squeezing him on one end of hell and the other, we got that right. Very soon, dear Spawny, you're gonna pop like a pus-filled cankering boil. Fwish-twish. Ah, this is far too good!
Flush. Blah. It's gonna be my freaking birthday! Yeah, this is better than eating barbecue cripples on a crutch!
No, that hit the black spot. And the best part about it, our pal Al hadn't begun to feel the crap I'm about to heap on him. Matter of fact, they're all a bunch of boneheads! Blink! Isn't that right, guys? I've got Wanda, Terry, Granny, all by the chinny win-win. Jason, win, my boy. You're doing me proud. Time to celebrate. I deserve a treat. Now, where can I find me some puppies to kick?
Is it seconds? Minutes? Hours? Reality is blurred. And then he regains some focus.
It's over, Hellspawn. I'm sending you back to your dark master. But part of you stays here. Your head. Decapitation. The only way to permanently kill an undead. I'll make sure Angela holds it before she dies!
Wow. That's it, guys. That's all we got. Man, what a fucking moment, right?
How's Spawn gonna get out of that one?
Spawn 39. Yeah. Looking at the artwork here. That was about 150 pages, you know. Give or take a few. Looking at these inks is always nice, you know. Oh, yeah, that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great, great piece. Oh, they did that one, too. Cool.
With Spawn, legendary writer and artist Todd McFarlane unleashed his iconic anti-hero onto the world and launched the most successful independent comic book in history. Spawn is a hero unlike any other government agent. Al Simmons was killed by his own men. Oh, well, we don't have to go back through that. Spawn Origins Volume 7 contains the stories and artwork that helped create the Spawn legacy, featuring awe-inspiring art by fan favorites Greg Capullo, The Creech, and Tony Daniel, Batman, with stories written by Spawn creator Todd McFarlane. All right, there we go. That's Volume 7. Now, gonna get ready for... Come on, load up. Gotta load that drive, come on. Volume 8. Ow. that's more digital art. Looks pretty cool. They gave Spawn a gun. Well, Spawn's had guns for a while, but yeah. He's definitely got a different suit now. The boots kind of look like the Maverick boots in the Mega Man X series. Like, yeah. Interesting. Alright, so we'll see you guys next month with, 188 pages. It's going to be a little longer. Things are getting incredible, though. Things are really getting awesome. That last volume was okay, but this one really heated up. I like this one. This one was good. It seems like things are just going strong. Issue 40 and so and so. I mean, of course, we're getting into the good years of Spawn. You know, the 95s, 96s. That's where people were really just loving this comic. So, we're going to get to read the best stuff. And, in May. So we'll see you then. This is the Grim Lord, and I'm out for Grimm's Comics Corner with Spawn.